This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to episode 220 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on June 8th, 2016. And my name is Dan Gorman. May I pass along my congratulations for your great interdimensional breakthrough? I am sure in the miserable annals of Earth, you will be duly enshrined.
My name is Casey Lyons. Oh, you know what? Get her some pug shit. She loves those little fuckers.
My name's Greg LeGros, and welcome back to Cash or Trash.
Yeah,
where my cash head's at.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
This week, we have tons of good stuff to talk about. We will be reviewing the new film Pop Star, Never Stop Stopping, and also the old film Pop Star, starring Aaron Carter. We will be,
and also the new film Neighbors 2.
Yes. Oh yeah. We will be rolling for movies for next week, talking about an album by Savage Garden, thanks to Casey, and more.
You're welcome, Dan.
Yeah, before we get to any of that, if you'd like to let us know what you think of the show, email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Go to Modern Superior to listen to us and all of our other shows on the network, and tell all your friends about us in real life. Speaking of iTunes, thank you for the review, Bruce Doug Clem, whoever that is.
Some guy.
I don't know.
Good know friend all of the those show. Syllables.
Yeah, good friend of the show. Thank you for the great, great review.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to any of the film roulette stuff, we will be doing Itty Bitty Tidbit Committee, talking about movie news, talking about what we have been watching this week, and more trailers, even.
Even.
Even trailers?
I want to bring up right away.
Yes.
Did you guys watch the trailer for Monster Trucks?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Certainly did.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I did watch it.
So this movie, this trailer took the internet a little bit, a little bit from left field.
Took the
I feel
internet
like
by what?
Yeah, I'm gonna get this up on IMDb so I can. Yeah.
Well, it's MacGyver, yes. Havoc of the X-Men series.
Lucas
that guy
Till.
Yeah,
MacGyver.
Yeah. So Monster Trucks.
Who's clearly just now showing with the MacGyver thing in this, like, hey, I'll do anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Lucas Till.
Except for cut my greasy, gross hair.
So this trailer comes out, and I had never heard of this movie, but the trailer shows us a glimpse into a movie that is seemingly about a monster,
right.
A literal monster that
yes.
comes, I guess, I don't know, from... If he's an alien or what, but he...
I don't think it matters.
No.
Okay, wait. It says, an accident at a nearby oil drilling site displaces a strange and subterranean creature with a taste and talent for speed. And this guy, you know, decides to befriend it.
Right.
And it becomes this, like, action family.
It lives in his truck.
It goes inside.
And can drive it.
Yeah.
It lives in and becomes his truck.
Right.
Which leads him on some adventures.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Yeah.
So the first half of this trailer, I was like, oh, this is right up there with those things from ABC last week with, like, what a dumb idea.
Yeah.
And then the last half of the trailer, I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. Because it just becomes a monster, a truck with a monster inside it doing
yeah.
jumps and
yeah.
blowing things
but
up.
There's, like, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume we'll... One of us will be forced to watch this.
Yeah.
And it might be me. Otherwise, I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking
about. When it's
about.
On Netflix, you're not going to be like, all right, what's up?
I guarantee you, if I'm not forced to watch this movie, I never will because I saw the trailer and I get the gist.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all I need to know.
I think
someone said monster truck. Imagine if a monster was in the truck. And then somebody said, here's millions of dollars.
Yeah, to the guy who directed, like, Ice Age and Robots or something. Uh-huh. I guess it's my years of watching shitty direct, like, the skateboard kid and, like...
Yeah, no, this is the kind
like,
of big stupid that they don't do anymore.
Yeah, that's
this
why...
This is like, it feels like an 80s
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, feels like
it's
a shooting
cocaine
star.
Cocaine script.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
thing is a shooting star landing in multiplexes everywhere. Yeah. You're like, I have not seen one of these in a while. Come on.
Part of me is quite happy that it exists because I'm like, I'm glad people are still having the worst idea and getting it funded.
Well, we need to leave something for behind for the people of tomorrow to come back and look and go like, what was going on in 2016?
Why did this race die out? Oh,
it was a big decline.
They were
right?
stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
I will watch that. It looks
certainly.
Terrible. From the writer of Safety Not Guaranteed, Jurassic World, Kong, Skull Island. Interesting. Okay. Derek Connolly did the screenplay.
Great.
So there
good
you go.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about...
Weird for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we talking about news right now?
Sure.
What about all these Rogue One problems?
Yes.
All these reshoots.
I've read
all the rumors.
Yeah.
I've read
all the hearsay.
I've read several articles assuaging any fears. This is just the regular rumor mill. Okay, now this is just what I've read. I'm not saying that this is definitively what it is. Every movie goes through reshoots.
Sure.
This movie had these reshoots scheduled from day one.
Yeah.
From before they even started shooting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like most movies do.
Yeah, exactly. Like huge tentpole movies do. It's just part of the process.
Yeah, because you're gonna go over, you know, time on days, and there needs to be like a set time of if we need overspill.
Yeah,
here's where
and
we
this is
go.
A big, important
also,
movie.
It's
something's
a fucking
gonna
crazy
come
important
up,
movie.
Something's gonna come up in this scene.
Yeah.
Where you go, oh shit! But in that last scene, that contradicts it.
Yeah.
We'll do this. It's Pick a lot of insert.
But it
stuff.
Seemed like it's a, like listen. I really don't want anything to be wrong.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's a lot of stuff, and the fact that there were like. Two massive press releases after the press release that said there's going to be reshoots. Then there was one that was like, listen, but everything's fine, don't worry. And then there was another one that was like, seriously, listen to that last one. Everything is totally fine.
And they were
but
saying,
what's the
like,
point of having the first one? Like, they don't need to go, hey, everybody, we're doing reshoots.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
that's what,
yeah,
like,
because
kinda,
if
that's what made me feel like somebody was standing in front of it going, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Nothing's on fire.
Because if even if the news comes out and people say, like, oh, nobody's happy, they're doing reshoots, those people that are going to see the movie aren't going to be like, well, I'm not seeing it then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and there was, like, the rumors about, I don't know if this was, if there was any actual facts based here, but I did read some stuff where people were saying Disney wanted some more, like, lighthearted moments or something. Like, everyone always frames those kind of reshoots as, like, they're changing the tone or they're, you know, whatever. I don't know if that was true or not.
That
but
made me worry
that's
because...
That's a very popular thing to say.
Yeah, but that I mean, maybe I just ate it up too blindly, but that made me worry because... Because
it should be dark.
Well, no, let it be dark and whatever it needs to be, but have levity. But with Gareth Edwards, who, like, I loved Monsters, but then Godzilla was like, hey, this movie is boring. It's very boring. Now, the monster stuff is not boring, but every single thing else... Wildly boring.
I just watched it again.
Godzilla?
This week,
yeah.
You're crazy. That's
no,
I
watch
really
it again,
like
too.
It too. Yeah. I know.
All the talking is horrible.
It's
terrible.
It's a lot like a monster movie where, I mean, I don't care for Aaron Taylor Thomas, Jimbo, as an actor. I think he's very awful. And I think that Bryan Cranston is cashing a paycheck.
Yeah.
But I think that all of those things, could have been shortened a little bit, yeah. but it didn't bother me that they weren't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was like, it's all lead up to where we're going, and I love where we get.
I uh-huh. feel like this, like the worry that I feel like is kind of percolating is from my perspective, almost more like a Jurassic World worry. Like, here, oh, you got some interesting guy who has an interesting movie, and then now you're just like forcing him into something that
yeah,
he's
a machine
not
or
whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. You
which
think,
they
you
which,
think it's
yeah.
Another Josh Trank
well,
situation?
Hey, now's the part where I defend Fantastic Four.
Look, dude,
no, but
I enjoyed that movie,
I like
too.
That movie, except for when it stops being good uh-huh. at the last
Even
15 minutes.
Even when it stopped being good, I was like, this is just stupid enough
yeah.
to hold my attention.
But uh-huh. I do think, like...
It's no monster truck, sure.
Yeah, I fall between trying to figure out if I worry about all the reshoots and stuff, but
yeah.
I do feel like, and maybe this is controversial in like the movie world to say, but... More time and more tweaking on a movie, I feel like, is vilified a little bit with
yeah.
people, where they're always saying, like, oh, you know, the studio forced me into test screenings and stuff. And it's like, well, sometimes that works really well. There are directors that will say, oh, like, I fucking put this comedy in front of an audience and nobody laughed, and I realized I had to, like, trim all these scenes, and then it became...
Just start calling it a drama.
Yeah. Or, like, I realized this beat that I was fighting for my life to keep this beat in was wrong, and
yeah,
nobody
sure.
laughed. And so I do feel like there is a reason... Like, sometimes studios will say, like, okay, we need to bring out the levity on this a little bit. Maybe that's the right decision. I don't know.
I think...
But
I
hope
think
it's
also,
still...
I think it was Frank Marshall who said... of the reshoots, generally these types of reshoots happen because of test screenings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes a real committee thinking thing. And Star Wars movies now, even, you know, Force Awakens is very committee
yeah.
thought out by
yeah.
They're not going to let go
yeah,
of this.
Exactly. So this has been designed very much by committee, much like that has. And Frank Marshall said, you know, generally these things happen because of test screenings and stuff like that. No Star Wars movie has ever had test screenings,
yeah.
nor will it one yeah. ever have test screenings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously it's not that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not worried because Force Awakens had reshoots. Like
yeah.
all
yeah.
of these movies have reshoots.
I do, yeah. But I do see, yeah, like I said, I feel hopeful that it's just like, we're working on it.
Yeah.
We want the movie to be
I
good.
Really
honestly,
I want this to be a terrific movie.
Yeah.
I think this is just designed to keep Rogue One in movie buzz,
right.
movie news. Ooh, will they?
Yeah.
Won't they? Make
yeah.
a good movie,
Kiss.
And then it'll come out. But and when it comes out, we'll all be blown away.
Like
yeah.
if they were like, "Oh, we finished ahead of schedule," would the internet be like, "They're rushing it"?
Yeah.
Oh my god,
it's another Jaws 3.
Yeah.
Listen. I only hope this is as good as Jaws 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the rest of Jaws 3. I talked a bit about
yeah,
2,
yeah.
and I did watch the rest of 3.
And?
Which I don't know if a bad movie has a better crescendo than the... Like, all of the Jaws 3 for an hour is just a shitty movie that's kind of fun to
yeah.
laugh at because it's so bad. There's pushy games and bars that don't make any sense and some ridiculous effects and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I love that game.
Stand up? I don't know. Get it at all. Or why you put it in a movie and not film anyone's legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the last 25 minutes of that movie, they were just like, let's get crazy. It's so amazing. And that fucking freeze frame final shot with
yes.
the dolphins
oh,
bookending them.
Into a little.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So good.
Yeah, just I could cry. So lovely. What a treat. What a treat
oh,
that movie is.
Oh, my God.
If that movie plays in 3D theaters in
you
whatever city you live in the summertime, like a lot of cities do, go see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's amazing.
I forgot about the dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and I just had a question. So, you know the guy with the grenade because he's inside the shark's mouth at the end? He's
yeah.
been there for a while, too?
Yeah.
Which is weird. First, I know we all know it's bizarre and he's still got the grenade in his hand. But then I was watching and I'm like, because you see him get eaten.
Yeah.
Like, he's outside of the shark and then it's the shot from inside the shark's mouth.
Yeah.
And he's there like, oh, no. But he's not bitten then. He gets
yeah.
bitten like 30 seconds later. The shark's like, where are you? Chomp, chomp, chomp. And then gets him. But like, how did he get inside? Does
I
the
don't
shark...
know. Like one duck's
I'm
going to
save you for later.
Anyway.
I like to suck on it. Soften him up before I chomp down.
Wonderful.
That's
sorry.
The shark, by the
yeah,
way.
I know we're
say,
in the
yeah.
news section here, but I just that just made me think
that's
of it.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
This just ends. Jaws 3.
Great ending.
Terrific.
Speaking of Star Wars adjacent, John Boyega takes lead in Pacific Rim 2.
Oh.
Yeah, this just didn't. Like, yeah, John Boyega was really fucking great in Attack the Block and really fucking great in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But putting him in Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah.
It's not going to save it. It's not going to be the thing that saves that movie.
Well, one of the worst things about I'm trying to rewatch Pacific Rim, the worst thing about it, other than clunky dialogue and boring pacing, is Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam's
main problem.
Not
He's
good.
So terrible.
Yeah.
He's so bad.
So boring.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So having somebody who can really act.
Yeah.
I know Sons of Anarchy fans are like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. I think generally that's what Sons of Anarchy fans sound like.
Sorry, I fell apart halfway through that.
I'm terribly sorry. Any
have
fans
you,
of that show?
Seen
I
the
just
new,
can't get into
Sons of Anarchy.
No.
I'm gonna walk away now.
I'm sure he's
goodbye, you weird person.
No, but reading reviews of that show is really difficult.
Anyway, he sucks in that movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm walking away from this conversation.
No, I want to know where the rest of that was going.
The next motorcycle you hear in the background is Greg driving off.
Sons of Anarchy song.
Yeah.
Why is that show so boring? I know people will defend his acting because of that show, but he's not very good at it.
No,
he can't do the acting. Like maybe if he has a terrific script and a director who's there to work with the actor.
Feel
a big
like,
effects movie, that fucking director doesn't give a fuck what he's doing. Like, read the lines. Don't be a moron.
Yeah.
Don't sound like an idiot. And Charlie Hunnam's just like,
he's turning into Weird Al's impression of Rambo.
Woo! So, a really good actor. Like
I can see
Maybe.
I feel like maybe it's something.
I think so.
I think Idris Elba is really interesting to watch, but he was in the first one. And
I feel like
it was a load. I think there was probably other actors that I don't remember who were in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because
probably not.
I haven't seen that movie and not fallen asleep. And I tried to watch it a couple times.
I worry that maybe the wrong direction to go in with the Pacific Rim 2 is trying to make it more legitimate. I feel like that movie needs to just become for real robot jocks, or just needs to become, you
it
know,
needs to become 1998 Godzilla,
a big or a big budget like version, a bigger budget version of like an Asylum movie. Like it just needs to be okay. The first one had amazing fights, and the movie itself had a lot of dumb, boring, not good shit in it. Unfortunately, in our opinion, I feel like, but. Let's just make the movie that is the dumb robot aliens like fight, and then the stuff in between matters less. Because I felt like its fault was Del Toro thinking he was making something that was really higher art than it was. Like, it was a lot of these things are really important in between the fights.
The robot fighting monster stuff was all
so
terrific.
Good.
It looks wonderful, but
it's fucking great.
The dead air in between is so overwhelming because there isn't even that much of it.
No,
like there's so much robots fighting monsters in that movie. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
you know, but it's so the fucking everything else is so bad. It's such a vacuum.
Yeah.
Of nothing.
Nothing.
Just nothing is going on.
No. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, another shot at this? Maybe. And, like, a solid guy like that there. But, I mean, putting a good actor in something doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a great product because they just added Anthony Hopkins to the next Transformers movie.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I just watched Transformers Age of Extinction again last night.
Again.
Why?
What's wrong with you?
Why did
Can
I do
we shift
it?
Our, like,
I won't watch monster trucks. I'm too good for
Fuck you, man.
I'll watch Age of Extinction twice.
Monsters in trucks, you guys.
Anyway, I'm going to go watch this movie in a series
These trucks were aliens.
Anyway, give me Transformers robot balls any day.
I know this one didn't have any robot balls in it, so strike against it, I guess. But I have no idea why. Because it was like 10:30 at night, and I'd had coffee too late, and Myos and B were both passed out, and I was like, "What am I going to do? This movie's put me to sleep before."
Yeah,
and also I for some reason, I just want the Transformers movies to be good. Mm.
Yeah.
So I watched it again.
Or to, like, get what you can out of them, because it is just, like,
maybe
Pacific Rim
is
just the big things fighting.
Yeah. Like, maybe there's going to be a big robot fight where I'm like, you know what? Now that I know what to expect and everything, this part's cool. No part is cool.
No, nothing is cool about
it. None of it is cool.
At all.
But you know what blows my mind about those movies? I'll talk about it real quick. I know we're still in news. The daughter, Mark Wahlberg's daughter, and her boyfriend, they are two actors you've never seen in anything before and will never see again.
Yeah.
But they were in one of the biggest budget, crazy fucking shoot-em-up movies.
Yeah.
But they're so just a cipher, just like nothing.
Yeah.
They're just nothing people.
Yeah.
They're very pretty looking people, but they're just nothing people.
Yeah.
You'll never see them in anything else again because they don't exist other than like
Could
Michael
that be
Bay
the, is that the movie,
painted
though, or?
Them onto the movie with his dick. That is all that happened. Uh-huh. Anywho.
Well, the only other thing that I wrote down for news, I did write down Brie Larson in Talks to Play Captain Marvel.
That's awesome.
What a great, great
that's
pick.
Really awesome.
I don't know if that's a good pick or not. I know she's a great actress, but I don't know that much about the character.
Yeah.
It's a very cool character. She's like two people combined, basically. I think they'll probably run with that. They probably won't get all too
sounds
crazy
like some
town.
Kind of a monster.
A lot of characters have like Rogue is actually connected to Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's a whole long nerdy comic book thing to get down. But it's a great character. Captain Marvel's awesome. And she's a terrific. What you need for that is somebody who's a really good actress.
Yeah.
So they have that.
Nice. Nope.
She looks basically right. I mean, other than being a blonde person, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't even matter. With the good costume and the fucking mohawk-y one, it doesn't play. Any hair can be coming out. Fucking wicked. No.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Have a big mohawk?
I hope so.
Oh,
fuck the. Yeah. The dynamite, like, really good Captain Marvel outfit.
Sweet.
This is mohawk action going on.
I think Brie Larson is a very, very attractive person. Mm. I don't think she needs to be for this. I think she's so badass that she can have like a big ass mohawk.
Yeah, it's not a real mohawk. It's like the suit makes. Anyway, don't worry about
it.
No, let's talk about it.
All right.
And then I wrote this down. And again, we've brought this up like a lot. And I don't want to continue to beat a dead horse. But there is another trailer for Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers.
Yeah, I haven't watched even one. I don't care.
I didn't realize this movie's PG-13. So it's like kind of a, I think he's going for like a Gremlins kind of thing with all the little bratwurst Nazi things where they're stepping on them and shoving them in microwaves and stuff.
There you go, is your mohawk thing.
Oh, that's the captain, yeah.
You know.
Oh, that is that drawing meant to look a little bit like Brie Larson, or is that just my mind doing that?
No, I think that's an old picture. Just works out, yeah.
Dope. I cannot fucking wait then.
Yeah, no, Captain Marvel is fucking wicked.
Yeah,
super. Yeah, good. So Kevin Smith's that trailer shows even more and looks even worse.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. So,
well, it's
great.
Not like this movie's going to benefit from seeing more of it.
Yeah. Well, what have you guys seen more of in the past week other than Jaws 3 and Transformers 5 or whatever?
And Godzilla.
Okay, well, you guys talked about two
movies in the news.
Two movies.
What did you watch, Dan Gorman?
And they were kind of trashy movies.
Yeah.
Well, I watched a trashy movie called Stone Cold.
Yes, sir.
Did you watch Stone Cold?
You bet your ass I did.
Okay, so for the listener... Stone Cold is a film starring Brian Bosworth,
the Boz.
A.K.A. The Boz,
directed
by Craig R. Baxley, who did Action Jackson, which I didn't realize until halfway through the movie, and I thought, like, this movie's got a real Action Jackson vibe where it's an action movie that seems like it might as well be a spoof, but is also kind of not.
Yeah.
It's, like, really towing that line between, like, how cliche can we get without actually being, like, wink.
Right.
Does it do it as perfectly as Action Jackson?
No.
Which is one of the most perfect action movies of all time.
No, but I was in love with this movie the whole way through. It is just, like, the first 5 minutes, the first 10 minutes of this movie...
The grocery store.
The grocery store, but then also when you're introduced to the gang and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
the
so
beer
many,
can shooting.
So many fucking insane things happen in the first 10 minutes of this movie. It could have just been a black screen, and I would have, for another hour, I'd be like, woo, yeah.
They for fun, they put beer cans on their shoulders, full ones, and then shoot them off.
With, like, machine guns and shit, Uzis and shit. And then the guy jumps on the ground, a car blows up behind him for no reason. It's basically about Brian Bosworth has to infiltrate a biker gang, which is run by Lance Henriksen.
And William Forsythe.
Oh, my God.
And he has to go undercover. Yeah, he goes undercover, and, like, it's the classic.
And his, like, FBI undercover is, what's his face? McMurray.
Sam McMurray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I fucking love this cast.
So this movie
all
came out.
All sorts of Coen Brothers cast.
Yeah. This movie came out in, like, 93 or something, and it came out. It's one of those movies where I don't understand how it didn't come out in the late 80s, but also it came out so late in this type of action movie. Like,
yeah, this
cycle.
Is 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
91. Yeah. So it's just, like, I don't know why more people don't talk about this as one of those all-timers like Cobra or fucking Commando. Like,
well,
because
it wasn't successful.
I know,
it wasn't,
but it's
hit
so
even
crazy.
A little bit. It is, like, highly watchable. And Bosworth was, like, so just coming, like, he was so big, but this is where he's starting to come down a bit. This is like, okay, you're out of the NFL, basically, so we're just going to make action movies?
Terrible at actor.
Oh, he's terrible.
Did he have a definitive role? Like, because I know I've seen Brian Bosworth movies, and I've seen, you know, covers and stuff like that. Is there the definitive one? Like
this is kind of the
like
definitive one.
Yeah,
yeah. He did do one, though, called, I believe it's called Virus.
That's the one I've seen, and I remember seeing the cover for.
Well, friend of the show, Gavin Fox.
Yeah,
his dad is the bad guy in it, and shoots grenades at Brian Bosworth, which is
something
pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that if your career even peaks there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he did Virus after Stone Cold a few years later.
Yeah, it's like 94, 5 at least.
96.
96.
And then One Man's Justice.
Yeah, see, none of the Virus is like the number 2
and then the rest
Bosworth
is all
movie, and then the rest
pretty
no one ever saw. He's not very good.
He was,
And the biggest.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why he wasn't in the NFL anymore either. Not very good.
Yeah.
He was just like crazy hairdo and a big earring and like a great ad campaign coming out of college. Goes and plays with the Seahawks. He's not bad.
Yeah.
Gets washed out. But then he got run the fuck over by Bo Jackson, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then it was like movies.
Yeah.
But
and
the
that
problem with
hair.
I like this. The hair is really something. But the problem is with this, with him, is they don't give him any cool lines to say. That's
he's
a
got
big,
some cool
not
line.
Really.
He's got some
angels don't die.
Yeah. they give
that's
him
no,
groaners.
Like ribs.
They give him like groaners that aren't cool.
How do you like
cool
your ribs
lines.
Is the best thing anyone's ever said in an action movie.
Yeah.
But they clean up on aisle whatever right at the beginning, and then a little bit at the end. The big chunk in the middle, not much cool things said by him.
But all of it is like him and Lance Henriksen like chuckling. Like,
listen, Lance Henriksen's amazing in this movie.
He's so good.
He says things that don't make any sense.
His performance is like 98% like chuckling menacingly.
I kept on thinking how good he is at that.
Yeah.
I'm going like.
Yeah.
He's so good at that. Yeah. And I was like, I kind of think you find this actually funny.
I felt like every scene of this movie had something ridiculous and crazy. And they pull a, oh, he's making something weird to eat. Oh, I'm going to feed it to my pet fake out.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best since that. Is it Rotor? That has the.
That's
the
got
carrot,
the big. The, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crazy coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the guy is making coffee and he's got a big carrot and he walks out to like the horse and you think he's going to give the carrot to the horse, but he gives the coffee and he eats the carrot himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stone
Dr.
Cold.
Dr. Cold Iron did that. Yeah.
I want Stone Cold is my new like quiet cool. It's my new like I want to watch it again already.
The action is pretty good.
Oh, they fucking throw
like,
a
they blow up all kinds of shit.
Helicopters.
Yeah, they fuck some stuff up. Yeah. Like, there had to be a
and
budget, man.
The final showdown in like the judge and there's like a fucking they're they're doing a like courtroom thing.
Yeah.
Like 1,000 innocent people get murdered
just,
in that scene.
Just toasted.
The people that get mowed down. This movie has zero care for anyone that happens to be in the way of bullets. It's just hundred. Like, this is one of the craziest kill counts I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Very good. And it's great. I love the end. The fucking Lance Henriksen dressed up like a fucking priest. And pulls out a machine gun. And
that he got in there somehow.
Oh, yeah. Just taped under the desk.
I was like, where'd that come
from? With, like,
from?
Duct tape. Like, really secure stuff. Yeah. But I like the way William Forsythe dies, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Because apparently if a motorcycle is in any kind of head-on collision, it is a fucking eruption.
Yeah.
The whole thing blows the fuck up. Oh, boy. So
and
good.
Then they'll strap you to a thing and, like,
and
give you,
like,
a little Viking funeral.
So, Casey, so you understand. So they kill William Forsythe by having a crazy road race, you know, chasing each other on motorcycles. William Forsythe crashes into, like, a sedan.
Yeah.
And just, boom, his whole everything, like, just blows up so intensely. And then later they honor him at the biker gang thing by having his dead body propped up on a motorcycle, and they burn him like he's a Viking or something. But I'm
if
like,
his whole motorcycle exploded.
You see him
his...
like shoot off of there, like Dark Man. And but I was like, how'd they get the body? Because there's cop cars coming, all kinds of shit, and like he just is all burned up and dead in the middle of like a public street.
Yeah.
I don't think they turn corpses over to the biker gang that owns them.
This movie leaves so many questions.
Yeah.
But the answer to all of them is just a sweet explosion.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Blow it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when things aren't exploding, it's a really hilarious thing where a really garbage actor is trying to stand toe-to-toe to, like, Henriksen, who's just being so sleazebag.
He's fucking great in this movie.
Yeah.
He's so good. William Forsythe, always awesome.
Yeah. And there's like a lot of gratuitous nudity up front.
Yeah.
To the point where after a scene in a strip club, we go to the like motorcycle, I guess, hut or whatever. And they like pan by like these women showering out front for no reason.
No reason. There's like, some more deaths.
Shower inside. There's like 100 of these little huts.
Mm-mm. One thing I loved about this movie tells you everything you need to know inside of the first 70 seconds. Where there's guys robbing a grocery store.
Yeah.
And one of the guys shoots a whole bunch of Ritz crackers with a machine gun.
Yeah.
And his buddy goes, I love it! And he's just like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't care what happens. I know what this is. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
The segue from that scene.
Did he shoot all the Ritz because he knew his friend loved it?
It seemed like it.
He's really going to enjoy this. Yeah.
Get them Ritz.
Seriously, if you want like a good shitty action flick, you cannot do wrong with this.
No. Oh, Stone Cold.
Yeah. Go watch Stone Cold.
And it's on YouTube.
Boss. Yeah.
Whole thing's on YouTube. And in a couple of languages. That's up to you, whatever you like.
Yeah.
He's
got quite the hair.
Yeah.
That is a ridiculous mullet.
Yeah. When you search it on YouTube, just put the title in there and the year, and then you'll get the most options. You got to put Stone Cold full movie, because otherwise you're going to get a lot of Stone Cold Steve Austin. In YouTube, write Stone Cold full movie 1991. You'll get it. Fucking good.
It'll be the best decision you make all week.
That's right.
What else did you guys watch?
I watched a couple things.
Yeah.
Just right off the top real quick, I watched a couple of stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet.
I watched Ali Wong.
How is that? I keep almost hitting play.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Some really funny insights and stuff.
Yeah.
She leans very heavily on not necessarily gross-out humor, but on, like, I'm being really true to life with this kind of humor and... You just have to deal with it. It's like, okay, well, we all know that that's what happens to the human body and stuff. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But she does have some really funny insights. I watched Gary Gulman. I cannot remember what it's called, but just search Gary Gulman on Netflix. Fucking fantastic. Really, really funny.
Yeah.
I totally recommend it. I don't like to talk too much more about stand-up shows because... I don't know, just watch it. I will talk about one movie that I absolutely loved and then one movie that I absolutely hated.
All right.
The movie I absolutely loved right now, I'll start with, saw the movie The Barkley Marathons.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I watched that. I talked about it on the show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was great.
Oh, my God. It is, like, just for right now, maybe, but it is my absolute favorite documentary ever.
Huh.
It's
so good.
It's so good, and it's just it's so simple.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually know about this. For listeners who don't know, it's about this annual race that happens in Tennessee. It was devised by these, you know, just country hillbillies who are not like dumb, you know,
specifically one
like
guy. Yeah.
Yeah. One guy. But like kind of devised with some friends.
Yeah.
And it's basically thought to be the hardest marathon, you know, in existence.
Yeah.
And it's very bizarre. He doesn't like it's world renowned. People from all over the world apply for it. It's very enigmatic how people are chosen. The cost to enter is $1.60.
And one year
it was white shirts because the guy who runs it needed white shirts.
Yeah.
This year that they're speaking of was plaid shirts because he needed some of those. and also a license plate from where you're from. And they set up all the license plates, and it's basically just this crazy, grueling thing.
It's like a bunch of cycles that you have, like, there's all these different...
You have to do the loop five times.
But then every couple times you have to reverse or something?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time you go one way, and then the second time I think you go counterclockwise.
Yeah.
Then the third time the first person dictates which way they want to go, and then the next guy has to go the other way. Anyway.
But each loop is like... What is it, like 6 hours? It's like,
yeah,
like
in total, like, it's about 120 miles.
Yeah. Oh. In total, it's like three days?
It's about 3 days.
Straight?
Wow.
And, and you have like a certain amount of time to finish it. And up until the point of this documentary, I can't remember how many people, only a few people had finished it.
Yeah.
And it basically just shows you, the weird thing is it's based on because there's a prison in this county that James Earl Ray was imprisoned in. Him and a bunch of prisoners escaped, and this fellow was saying, you know, he didn't go more than 8 miles before they caught him and put him back in prison. And the fellow who started the thing was like, that guy couldn't have even gone 8 miles. I could have at least gone 100 miles. And so then he starts this thing.
Huh.
And everybody was kind of up in arms about it because they're like, what is this, a fucking tribute to James Earl Ray? And he was like, no, it's quite the opposite. But it just basically becomes you following these people. And you don't see too much of the course or anything.
No, but it's like, if it sounds convoluted, that's kind of like the point. Like, you have to go out and get pages from a book that he's put at all these different stops to
prove
that you've been there.
Just to prove that you've gotten to that point.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's so
amazing.
Fascinating. And so, and by the end of it, it kind of twists in a way that you're like, I have so much love and admiration for the people who set this up and for the people who have done it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason they've done it. It's so
they come back
heartwarming.
All fucked up too.
Yeah, like seriously fucked up. Like by the third cycle, like they're like, I can barely walk, and I have two more of these to go, and then they just go.
Yeah,
it's super heartwarming, and it just it just really gave me a real good like, oh man, sometimes humanity is really beautiful.
I do really need to see that.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, it's great.
Definitely. What else?
I don't know. We'll go around.
Yeah. Let's see. What's it? All right. I rewatched Point Break.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Or not Point Break. Sorry. Speed. I was...
well, 6-1.
Yeah. No, it's Keanu.
Yeah.
I was talking about Point Break earlier. Sorry. I rewatched Speed.
Yeah.
Because Athena hadn't seen it since it came out.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what? We need to put something on? Because we just spend like a half an hour trying to pick something. Or I do. And she's patient with me. and so it was just like, Speed. Let's just watch Speed while we get the food together. And then we're like, we'll just watch the beginning or whatever. And then we watched all of Speed.
Yeah.
Because listen, man, Speed's awesome.
So good.
It's great. Start to finish.
So fucking entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like, they really don't make them like this anymore.
No.
Where you got three major action set pieces that are your film here. You got your elevator opening, all the time on the bus, and then the big subway finish.
Yeah.
And all of it is fucking great. And there's this thing that I felt it. I was like, this is what I'm missing from action movies these days. The whole time on the bus, after before they really know what to do, they don't have a plan in place, they aren't on the highway yet, and it's just a whole lot. The bus driver just got shot, nobody can get off, he's having trouble controlling everyone, she's trying to drive it, and she's like just pulling these hard turns and clipping all these cars and shit, and it's just so close to all falling apart for like 15 minutes.
It's a fucking shambles and perfectly filmed.
Yon DeBunt, you know, it's gonna and it was just like that kind of manic pace of like fun thrills,
yeah,
you know, like really actually fun, but like they're keeping it in their world, their reality. It's just I feel like it just isn't really a thing I've seen in an action movie in so long.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of like just bananas, like have like you're watching this movie's fucking 25 years old or whatever, not quite, but just the whole like when she is just almost at the point of out of control with the bus, the whole thing is just like
it's and so you feel
thrilling.
Her stress, like
yeah,
she...
totally.
Like, he's a fucking great action star,
but
she's as much an action star of the movie because she's just a fucking person.
Yeah.
Like, he's a superhuman action dude,
but
she's a fucking person, and she just is fucking super badass.
Yeah, she's
just a person coping with shit to
totally.
This
and
shit
she
to
is
deal with.
Fucking so dynamite in it. You can totally see why she went from being 100% nobody to A-list immediately and never let go of it.
Yeah.
Like, she's never had like really a big dip in her popularity.
She has insane charisma.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
She's so good. I had so much fun watching that movie. And there's things in it that are just so stupid. But whatever. I mean, the bus jumping the fucking the unfinished highway is just, totally ludicrous. And maybe even the worst looking effect in the whole movie, because the way it leaps up is a little weird.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. But even so, I'm like, woo! Man, what a great time. Like, that's just, oh, boy. Yeah, action movies is some kind of, I'm not saying speed's the best action movie.
No, but
geez,
it's a fucking great one.
Boy, is it good. And man, it holds up great. It holds up so well. Terrific.
An interesting thing, one of the things that I really like about it, too, is that everyone on the bus... there's a certain amount of character development. Like, everybody on the bus has a very defined character.
Yeah, I mean... go ahead, sorry.
In as much as they need to.
Yeah.
You know, and an interesting companion piece to Speed, I think, is an episode of the podcast, I Was There Too.
Yeah.
Hosted by Matt Gourley, which is a fucking great show. But he talks to... It's the concept of the show is he talks to people who are in the great... films of history kind of thing, but had a very small part or an extra or something. So he talks to all the people on the bus, save for Alan Ruck, I think.
Right.
And just ask them what it was like on set. So it's really interesting.
That's very
because
cool.
They all got to sort of define their characters. And you could really see
a bunch of character actors and like said, you know, here we know like some archetypes for you to sort of base it on. But yeah, like kind of go nuts, make your own backstory and stuff.
Yeah. And you see these actors who really want to get across what they've, what they've done and who they've
chosen.
There's
a scene where they're really gunning for it, too. And it just doesn't. It's probably the flattest scene in the whole movie where I guess at some point they realized, oh, wait, wouldn't these people be reacting? And they all start, like, the fight starts out that's so poorly constructed as far as the dialogue where the big guy who helps him out, he's like, hey, man, I got a wife. And then this other guy goes like...
he's done his homework.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the guy with, like, the most 90s hair, he's like, hey, what, so I don't got a wife? I'm not as good as you? Like, all right, buddy. All right. Improv, I get it. You got to kind of go with what's been offered. But that's why that thing gets shut the fuck down real fast. I think that's why Keanu's character stops. He's like, this is stupid. No, this isn't interesting. No more talking.
Guys, I'm Keanu, and I think this isn't interesting.
Yeah. Other than that, though, it's so tight. And even that, like, even the missteps are so brief.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who cares?
I like them as a collective. The people on the bus as a collective, I just find so charming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I had just so much fun watching that fucking stupid movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's fucking
so great. So great.
Casey, what was the bad one?
Yeah. Casey.
What did you hate, Casey?
Greg, yeah. Let's come back to you on my way to me.
All right.
All right.
Well, there's a movie that I always wanted to see. It's one of those movies where I was like, I've heard so much bad about this movie, but I always kind of had it in my head that it was actually going to be a good movie and that everybody was wrong. Well, I watched the movie 1408.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's like 70% all right.
it is 90% fucking bullshit and 10% what the fuck am I watching? It's the worst.
I think that movie's fun.
Oh my goodness, it is so pointless. Okay, like there's when he first gets to the hotel room.
Yeah.
Everything leading up to that, so pointless. It propels the story. But it sucks so bad. It's so flat and lifeless.
Yeah.
Then he gets, I feel like I liked
the first half, and then not so much the end.
It gets ridiculous. Like once it gets to the point where Samuel L. Jackson's like in his fridge, I was like, this is wonderful.
Right. See, I love that because it felt a little bit like that kind of absurd Stephen King, universe. But it. When he gets to the hotel room, you're like, oh shit, this is really creepy. Like, this is really intense. And Myos was like super tense, and then they just slowly deflate everything that they were trying to do with just the dumbest payoffs and the most boring bullshit nothing. And then the big, you know, twist. It's not even a big twist. They just as they reveal more and more of the story, you're like, this isn't a fucking story. There's no story here. There's just a bunch of stuff that's happening, and he's sad. Oh, it is the fucking worst. I was so bummed.
Yeah. I should check back in with that movie.
Because there's the one scene where he's looking in the building across,
yeah.
And he sees him, and then someone's behind him with a hammer.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, this is getting fucking finally awesome.
Yeah.
And then it just deflates any goodwill.
Huh, that's a bummer. Well, yeah. I don't know. I remember not being nuts about it, but I did enjoy myself.
Yeah, I remember having fun with
it. I would say watch it again, and I believe you will be proved wrong. But why? If you have a good memory of it, leave it as is.
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't think it will have aged well.
Well, speaking of aging, I really quickly, I didn't talk about this last week, but it came up again today in my personal life, so I want to throw this out there.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do a big rundown, but I watched Wall Street for the first time.
Right.
I'd never seen it, and I always had like a passing interest in it, but we came by it on Netflix, and Emma was saying, oh, you haven't seen Wall Street? We should watch Wall Street. And I thought, okay, why not?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Surprisingly,
you haven't seen it.
Then I watched it, and then like a couple days went by, and I forgot that I'd watched it, because usually I write a little blurb on Letterboxd, and then I wrote like, oh, yeah, I watched that movie the other day. Anyway, like nothing about it to me watching it right now with modern eyes felt like at all interesting. Or like it just really washed over me. I didn't think like, yeah, the performances are good, but like it just feels
except
so
for Daryl Hannah, she's terrible.
Yeah, it just felt so
she's really bad in it.
Like usually I go for like time capsule kind of movies, like you had to be there. I feel like the whole stock market being this exciting like world to dive into just felt like, oh, another movie where this like everyone's yelling at the screens and throwing their tickets in the air and stuff. Like, and I didn't think that Ridley Scott
there
like
was more to the stock market.
I just felt like there wasn't. I don't know. It was fine. It's fine. And then Matt Brown commented on my Letterboxd review where I said, "Yeah, I watched this the other day, and then I kind of forgot about it." And that's my opinion of this movie. And he goes, "You're crazy." Like. And totally disagreed with me. And I know that you guys used to, when I said I'm watching this, Casey was like, oh, I used to love that movie.
And
it just seems like such a weird movie. Like, I can't ever in my life picture me being like, I gotta watch Wall Street.
But
at the time it was like the Gordon Gekko thing became this whole like people were emulating him, obviously idiots that thought.
Well, yeah, like, because it was, but I think it was that thing. Like, it was a very self-aware 80s movie. It was like the 80s perfectly encapsulating itself. I don't know, I feel like I want to watch it again just so I can remember, because I haven't seen it since like I was 23 maybe.
I don't know, it's about 10 years or so for me. I feel like
it's not bad.
I just
felt very sort of, all right, now I've seen Wall Street.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna watch it again because I love that movie.
Yeah.
Do you like Platoon?
I've actually never seen Platoon.
Oh, boy. Go see Platoon. Maybe you just don't like any Oliver Stone.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah. I said Ridley Scott. Always get those two confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I've seen some Oliver.
Those two. Weird.
Yeah, they're very different.
I know, but I, for some reason, always get them. I always say Ridley Scott when I mean Stone and Stone when I mean Scott. I don't know why. They're totally different.
So very different.
Yeah. I know I've seen some Ridley Scott that some Oliver Stone that I like.
Yeah.
I feel like Oliver Stone is
I find very spotty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really. But that era, like, I like Wall Street a lot. I love Platoon.
Yeah, Platoon's a fucking great movie.
Boy, is that a good movie.
I remember liking Hamburger Hill more, but I haven't seen that in a long time, so maybe that hasn't been.
Yeah. I guess I haven't seen Natural Born Killers.
I used to say I like Hamburger Hill more, too.
Natural Born Killers is one of the worst movies of all time. Sorry. Continue.
I used to say I think that Hamburger Hill was better because it was like a cool thing to say in 1990.
Yeah,
right.
Like, oh, yeah, Platoon's good, but have you seen Hamburger Hill?
Hamburger Hill, actually, they really pinpoint what it was like to be there.
Did he direct Hamburger Hill?
No, he didn't.
No. Okay. There was a lot of Vietnam movies.
Okay.
A lot of them. I feel like Hamburger Hill is probably like all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Matthew Modine in that? No.
Hamburger Hill?
No.
You know,
no, I feel like Peter Berg is
I've always wanted to see Salvador.
I Modine might have doubled down on the war shit.
Yeah, for some reason, I always really wanted to see Salvador, but I have yet to watch that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
And I've been meaning to watch Talk Radio, which I hear is super good.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah. The Eric Bogosian thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great
very good
movie.
You know, Don Cheadle's in Hamburger Hill.
Yeah, Michael Bowman, too. Bodie. Dylan McDermott.
Did you guys like Wall Street Money Never Sleeps?
Courtney
no.
B. Vance, Stephen
didn't
Weber.
Even finish it.
Okay.
I didn't bother because I was like, this is so after the fact that
One of the things that Matt Brown said to me was, knowing your like movie taste, you should probably watch that one because it might be more up your alley. And I just thought, I could see the sort of like over the top, even more over the top, ridiculous piece of crap maybe being more interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine being interested enough in Wall Street to go watch Wall Street 2.
Yeah, no.
Like, what? I thought Wall Street was fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see what you think of Platoon, though.
Yeah,
check that out.
I will. Because I've been meaning to watch Salvador. I'll watch Platoon, and I'll watch Talk Radio at some point. I'll do a little... Yeah.
There's a documentary. There's a documentary called Breaking a Monster, which is about that... band Unlocking the Truth. Remember that band that we saw?
I posted the trailer for this in
Living Color.
Yeah,
that band of kids.
Yeah,
they were great.
I posted the trailer for this today in our group.
Oh no way!
Oh, is that what that was? I didn't get a chance to look at it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, we saw these guys open for Living Color.
They were these fucking kids playing
metal.
Yeah, and I would say somewhat basic metal, but metal that you wouldn't expect from a bunch of kids. And they fucking
the trailer for this movie. What is it? Breaking a Monster?
Breaking a Monster, yeah.
Look, the trailer looks great.
Sweet.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, because watching these kids, I was genuinely entertained by the music they were making.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, this isn't just cute because they're kids. It is cute because they're kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm genuinely entertained by it. Yeah.
And that kid's a good drummer.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we saw that band open for Living Color. Lead singer of Living Color, Corey Glover, is in Platoon.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
Yeah. 6 degrees or whatever the fuck.
We'll watch that.
All right. Fucking totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So go watch Wall Street. Tell me if it holds up.
Yeah.
I do want to watch it.
I feel like I'm an outlier on this.
Yeah, probably.
If you have an opinion on Wall Street, let us know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be our new Oculus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wall Street Jealous.
Yeah.
Right.
Any last discussions before Film Roulette?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm mad at you, Dan Gorman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Fuck you, Dan.
Yeah?
I don't know why.
I've known you for like 10 years.
Yeah?
10 years and talking about movies.
Yeah?
Never once did you tell me, hey, you should watch The Story of Ricky.
Okay. I just assumed a lot of people that are into cult movies have seen this film.
What the fuck? Like, I can't believe it took me 25 years to fucking discover
me
this fucking
either.
Thing.
I just assumed you knew.
I didn't know what it was until you started talking about it.
All right.
It's like, along with like Brain Dead, I feel like when I was watching these cult movies. It was one of the ones that was first said, like, get Brain Dead, Story of Ricky.
All right. Well, no. I never heard of it at all.
Okay.
And every time I've rented a bad movie, like looking for something ridiculous or crazy or some kind of, this has always been the movie I've been looking for.
Yeah.
Like,
I
don't know if I need to watch movies anymore.
Yeah.
The crazy violence, the terrible overdubbing, the fucking ludicrous plot. They should have sent a poet.
Yeah.
Instead of me to watch this movie. Because it was the most beautiful thing
I have ever seen. It's fantastic.
It's unfucking real.
Yeah.
Every 10 minutes, something happened where I went, holy shit! I can't even tell you how much I adored this crazy fucking
movie.
This is
from 91.
Movie. Yeah. 1991. This guy is in prison for manslaughter. Now, I feel like I don't know if they ever addressed why. Anyway, so he's in prison, and while he's there, the evil wardens and their opium-growing plans,
and he
just kills everybody constantly because he's, like, super-powered.
Yeah.
He's super-duper strong. They don't ever say why, except for he trained with his uncle in a graveyard one day.
Yeah.
And
it's super violent because it's based on, like, a manga.
Sure.
So it's kind of like a Fist of the North Star situation punch a guy, he'll blow up kind of shit.
All I ever want to do is be watching this movie now. It's the fucking greatest thing I've ever seen.
Good. There's a guy that keeps keep mints in his eyeball?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's an interesting sentence.
Yes. No, listen, you have to see this movie.
You have to watch this for
immediately.
Sure.
This sounds amazing. You watch this tonight.
Yeah. Right. I don't. Not to spoil too, I think I can spoil one thing.
Yeah.
But for me, when I was in high school and I saw this movie, all I could talk about was how somebody in this movie gets strangled by intestines.
Yes.
And I just remember, like, that, like, it's the most hyper version of, like, he got beat to death with his own hand or his own arm or whatever. Like, that's in so many gory movies. But this movie just takes all that stuff
everything
to the next level.
So nuts.
And they used a clip of a guy getting his head smashed in on the Daily Show, and that's how when I was.
I think that's a big way that this that was the gateway to this movie because I looked at the posters for it, and most of them have a little thing on the bottom corner that says featuring the famous head exploding scene is featured on the Daily Show.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that really fucking a moment of zen really propelled this cult movie.
Because I remember my friends saw that in high school, and we were like, what?
Yeah,
and
for
then people were like, you're into these movies, you got to see Story of Ricky.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, a Story of Ricky. And I, you know what I love is, like, because it's Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when they overdub these movies, they at least keep the character names in check.
Yeah.
Not this one. Everyone's named Oscar and Alan and Andrew.
Yeah.
And they're yelling this during fights, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that one of the most violent, absurd movies I've ever seen is called The Story of Ricky.
Yeah.
This one's about Ricky.
And I don't even know what the story of Ricky is. I really don't get it. The flashbacks are all amazing.
Oh, so
all
good.
The fun times he has with remote control airplanes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I've ever seen a better movie in my entire life. I'm so
How
in love with this movie right now.
How did you end up finding it this time? Like,
I follow some of those like VHS collector things on Facebook.
Yeah, and somebody
somebody posted up, holy fuck, I found this at a Goodwill or whatever for $1.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the shit is that? And somebody posted a link to the movie on YouTube. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. I went into it completely cold.
Which is amazing.
Which was even better because when the first crazy thing happened, which is very early on, I was like, whoa, what am I? And I was so happy, I almost cried. Yeah. I was like, I finally found
a good one.
Everything I've been looking for in a movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, where this movie gets to with the stuff at the end of the movie, it does turn into like a brain dead, dead alive kind of shit.
For no reason, no explanation, this is the best movie that humans have made.
And then a guy punches a wall down.
Yeah, that's right. Free all the other murderers.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Watch this movie. I'll try and remember it. I'll post the fucking YouTube link on our See You Next Wednesday page.
Yeah,
everyone should watch this movie
now.
Whatever, if you're in a car, pull over. Watch this. Just fucking watch this movie.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the best.
All right, Casey. Any last words?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, now I'm going to murder you.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I wish I'd see more movies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, let's get into film roulette. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll the die and the two high rollers get to pick get to go see something good that we have picked as the winner film. This week we picked Pop Star Never Stop Stopping. Yes, Never Stop Never Stopping. And the loser has to go see something terrible that we've picked as a loser film. This week the loser film was Pop Star. You see,
just stop.
You know, you see what
always
we did
keep
there?
Bond just stopping.
Yeah. Starring Aaron Carter.
Don't start.
Just stop.
Please.
But the loser gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. Last week, Casey was the loser. He gave us an album by Savage Garden. We'll roll for movies next week. Get another punishment album. We'll keep this punishment train rolling.
Yeah. Now, fellas.
Yeah.
Real
full
quick.
Full disclosure.
Yeah, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see. I was one of the winners of last week.
Yeah.
I was very honored.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. Unfortunately,
yeah.
My life is a little upside down right now.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit crazy because Myers and I are having another kid.
Yeah, you are.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that's happening.
Which we knew about this time, that we're not just this underwhelmed by the news.
Just
like, oh,
fucking cold
okay.
Cocky. Yeah. Crazy news this time.
Again.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Totally.
Yeah, very, very excited.
Yeah.
I feel like I got this parenting thing down, so,
sure.
So fucking bring them on.
Yeah, yeah. Set this one free and start on a new one.
Absolutely. I feel like B is kind of old news now.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah. So,
start over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a lot of, you know, dad prep.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And trying to get all the affairs in order and everything.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So come December 13th.
Wow.
2016.
You'll be a father of two.
I'll be a father of two. And an insane person.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Should we do yours now or after? What you ended up seeing?
I can go second because mine was related to the comedy realm.
Sure.
Okay.
But not the original intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Yeah.
This is getting just about 70 on Metascore, directed by Akiva Schaffer and Yorma Taccone, starring them as well as Andy Samberg and about a billion other people.
Oh, Yorma co-directed this one as well?
Yes.
Mm. Cool.
So Sarah Silverman, Tim Meadows, Maya Rudolph, Joan Cusack, tons of people. In
everybody.
So many people.
So IMDb describes the plot as, when it becomes clear that his solo album is a failure, a former boy band member does everything in his power to maintain his celebrity status. So in the past, The Lonely Island, these three guys, they've done movies like Hot Rod. They did the SNL digital shorts. They have shown that they have a knack for the music side of comedy.
Yes, many good albums.
So they've put out some albums as well. So this this movie looks to kind of meld that. And we will find out if it was successful or not when Greg tells us about his experience watching
Popstar.
That's
what I'll do. I kind of heard some pretty mixed things about this going in.
Yeah.
People are a little disappointed and stuff like that. And so I went there and I was just like kind of a little almost ready to not enjoy myself or being like, fuck me. Do I got to go watch a not good comedy now? But I was sitting there in the theater and just like, fuck it, man, whatever, man. I really like Andy Samberg. And yeah. Hot Rod didn't get good reviews at all. And I no, really like that.
But it got even worse reviews than this.
And so I just chilled out. And I'm like, let's just watch a comedy. It's yeah. short as shit, too. It's like right 90 yeah, minutes on 26. The nose. I'm like, awesome, right on. So with that, just like not having super high expectations, I did enjoy a good amount of this movie.
Yeah.
Mostly the first half when it's a little bit. This is a pretty funny movie. Not great, though. Mostly the problem is the last half an hour is a bit of a drag.
Yeah.
And that's because it does not hold up to the sort of insanity that's going on in the beginning. Now, the beginning is not even the best, really, because the insanity isn't as high as it needs to go, but it's at least pretty funny, and there's yeah. enough like nonsense stuff going on, and because this kind of thing needs to be as out there as possible, you know.
Yeah.
And we're really taking shots big time at Justin Bieber, and the stuff like when they cut to the TMZ setup that they have is fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's it's Will Arnett,
yeah.
and Chelsea Peretti and some other people.
Oh,
and it's
God,
just,
I love Chelsea
it's really
Peretti.
Brief. It's not a lot, but I was almost in tears each time. It's just like they have that so pitch perfect.
Yeah,
so pitch perfect that really really outstanding. And then I feel like the last half an hour has like some Judd Apatow meddling or something like that.
Shit.
Like, this doesn't ever need to be a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
This doesn't ever have to be. No one should ever learn anything in this movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely no learning.
Yeah.
I feel like would really benefit this film, and it just turns into a like, let's all get together and be friends again. We'll get the band back together.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel right. And it wasn't. And then because everyone's so vapid and useless going up to that point, watching them trying to have an emotional realization was really empty and boring, really.
Yeah.
It's like, fine, this is what we're going to do.
And then you
realize that that's the turn they're taking a half an hour before the end yeah. of the movie. It's like, now I have to just watch this play out.
Yeah. I keep
which
picturing
is all you do.
What you're talking about, and I can't picture it not being played as a joke, as like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Like,
yeah, and they don't do it. They do it kind of a little bit almost straight up to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a really great... When they're first trying to mend wounded friendships, there is one thing that happens in a limo that's pretty great.
Yeah.
But it's peppered through with, I laughed out loud a number of times in this thing.
Yeah.
This is one definitely watch on Netflix. You don't need to go to a theater for any reason. A few of the songs are pretty fucking great. Some of them don't quite get there where they need to, but they're really good. Maybe if there was more music, I would have been more into this, because their songs are hilarious.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I wanted this to go as far, like, I mean, if you're going to do one of these, you have to compare it to Spinal Tap, right? I mean, that's kind of the, that's what you do.
I feel like in my head, I was always comparing this to 7 Days in Hell.
Sure.
Like, because it's very much the same thing, you know, like Andy Samberg and doing this whole type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was very much looking forward to it as that.
Yeah. Sure. But I mean, this is going to be it's shot because it's a mockumentary,
right,
and you're following this artist around. Now it is a little bit more like a behind the music or whatever. That's a little dated, even, but you know, like a modern like don't stop believing in believers or whatever the fuck that movie's called, or the One Direction documentary I had to watch. Like it has that energy very much so, but it is a music documentary or a mockumentary that you kind of have to don't make it like Spinal Tap. I'm not saying that, but Spinal Tap sets an energy bar and an absurdity bar right away and never dips below it again.
Yeah.
No one learns anything in Spinal Tap. They're like, you know, the emotional twists and turns of a band, like, and when they follow cliches like having a Yoko Ono kind of like pulling the band apart and stuff like that, it never gets real. It always holds this kind of absurdity to it because everything about it, you know, holding up these musicians on such high pedestals itself is absurd. It's all absurdity, and so they won't let it go. And that's why Spinal Tap is maybe the most rewatchable comedy there is, you know, which is so fun all the time.
Yeah.
Right to the end. And this just half an hour at the end, again, just like, I'm not here for a story about these fake musicians. I really don't care. It never really goes as far as it needs to, but at the same time, there's a lot of good laughs in here because these are three really funny guys in control of this thing, or mostly in control of it. I feel like there's an Apatow meddling going on here.
God bless him. I just don't think he knows what he's doing.
No, I don't think so either, but whatever. He's shone a light on a great many funny persons. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
But
he's great at finding talent.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And this is thankfully short, because this, if this goes too long, it's a big bummer. But yeah, 90 minutes. Watch this on Netflix. You'll, if you like these guys, if you like Andy Samberg, definitely watch this, because there's enough in there. And if you're even casually just want like digital short type stuff, that's there too. It doesn't have enough like diversions off into weirdness, because when it goes into like when they do the cutaways to TMZ, which I think is called CMZ in this,
yeah,
that just has no limits to absurdity, and it's so fun.
Yeah,
and so when the left turns come, they're as far as you need to go, but there aren't enough of the left turns, and the rest of the movie doesn't know to keep that pace.
Yeah.
Other than that,
that's
not
that
bad.
Is a bummer, because yeah, not to keep going back to this well, but 7 Days in Hell is that it's absurdity start to finish,
yeah,
and I feel like it's about that long. It's about 90 minutes.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And it is that thing where there doesn't need to be a story or anything.
Yeah.
It's just here's a bunch of funny jokes based
yeah,
all around this thing that happens, and then it's crazy, and then it ends.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't understand. And I was sure this would be the same thing.
Me too. I was like, they won't fall into the stupid trap. Like, don't try and make this into a buddy movie or whatever the shit, you know, at the end. Like, it doesn't need this much story at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Listen, it's not the worst. I'm being a little harsh on it. And I just came over from the theater, but I did laugh out loud more often than I have in any comedy I've seen in the last year or two. Because comedies aren't great these days. But yeah, there's a couple of things in it that are quite funny.
Great. Well, turning a quick eye over to Casey, speaking of comedies, you ended up seeing a little film called Neighbors 2.
I got the chance to see Neighbors 2,
Sorority Rising, which is...
Did you see Neighbors 1?
I did.
Okay.
So this is directed by Nicholas Stoller, starring Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, mm-hmm, and Zac Efron again.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb describes it as, when their new next-door neighbors turn out to be a sorority even more debaucherous than the fraternity previously living there, Mac and Kelly team up with their former enemy Teddy to bring the girls down. This is another movie that got some divisive stuff in terms of reviews. I think it's sitting at about, 59 on Metascore.
Right.
Though I did see one review, I think it was maybe Birth Movies Death, one of their writers,
that said
it was
it's
like
the best sequel of all time.
Not the, but they were like one of the best comedy sequels of all time. But I did also see a couple other people writing that this was a really great sequel. And I'm interested to hear, because I didn't see Neighbors 1.
Yeah.
And then this got sort of some people loving it, some people saying it was just another kind of this kind of comedy.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where you land on this one.
I could see like a sequel being okay, because I saw Neighbors 1 not too long ago. I think I talked about it on the show. And it's like, I didn't laugh a lot, but I was like enjoying myself.
Yeah.
It's very pleasant to watch.
Sure.
Neighbors 1 is very pleasant. And it does a lot of things with the fraternity genre that you maybe wouldn't think to do.
Sure.
Excuse me. So Neighbors 2 doesn't have that high a bar.
Yeah.
So that's where you could have a successful sequel, I think.
Right. So to call it one of the most successful sequels of all time, I understand.
Sure.
Because if you set the bar down here, if you're here, if you're even here, mm-hmm, I'm indicating about a foot up.
That's totally a lie. He stood up. He indicated about 3.5 feet.
You're right. I'm very short, so I had to stand up. It wasn't that hard. This movie was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It doesn't struggle to be anything other than what it is, much like the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says a lot of great things without being overbearing about it.
Right.
It says a lot of great things about women and about women's place in sort of like the grossly misogynistic system of fraternities and sororities.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't it like they're not allowed to party because you have to party at a frat house?
Yeah.
Which
is
like
it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And it,
so
within
gross.
The movie, without actually breaking the fourth wall, in the movie they say, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
And it's true, and it's dumb. And this movie goes, so let's break that.
Yeah.
And let's do, and let's show how stupid it would be, stupid that whole thing is. But it also goes, but these women are fallible people because they're fucking kids.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't make anybody, it doesn't, like, make its point too strongly. It just makes its point. And it also kind of goes, and this is, these are the places where feminism is kind of like, you can take it to a wrong place. Or, you know, and someone was like, yeah, I know, men's rights, right? I was like, and then the character is literally like, no, fuck off. like, it's just this real nice middle ground of, like, people going, like, you can live in this little society where everybody is a fucking person.
Yeah.
But society pushes us to be, you know, less than that or more than that or whatever. Yeah. Now, it's not striving to make these points. It's striving to make these points so that it can make a dildo joke, you know, and there's something I find really refreshing about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus the fact that you've got, now, I don't think I'll ever believe Chloe Grace Moretz as anything other than, you know, a kind of smarmy, smart girl kind of thing. And in this movie, she does what she needs to do.
Yeah.
She's not great or terrible. But, you know, once again, Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen are super likable, super funny. Ike Barinholtz shows up, and he's great.
Yeah,
Carla Gallows is great as well.
I like Rose Byrne a lot, too. Boy, she got an interesting little career going on.
She's super funny in this.
Yeah.
But on the same level as Seth Rogen, like they have like this real chemistry that's awesome. Zac Efron is fucking great.
Huh.
He knows exactly what he needs to be, and he plays it. He plays the humanity of his character, but not too much or anything.
Uh-huh.
He knows all of the beats to hit. It just seems organic. Like, I was really impressed with him.
Interesting.
And you remember how in the first one, you saw the first one, there's the gag about the airbags?
Yeah.
They take that. They don't use a lot of the same gags kind of thing because Neighbors 1 doesn't really set up a lot of, like,
reusable,
you know, keystone gags. Yeah. They take the airbag thing to the most absolutely beautiful level.
Sweet.
It is fucking great. It is just a really, really nice little movie. And it's super likable.
Right on.
Starts
to that's good news.
Yeah, totally.
Great. And it's that movie where everybody ends up at a place where you're like, great. This is great for everybody.
Wonderful.
Well, I'll have to see that.
Aww. Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Good news.
Good news.
Even better news.
Huh?
I had to fucking watch this movie. Pop Star from 2005. I thought this was from so much earlier than that. I guess 2005, it's been a while, but this movie really makes it seem like it's been longer than it actually has.
Yeah.
Starring Aaron Carter and Elena Austin, directed by Richard Goodbye. I wanted to say goodbye to this movie.
Oh my God. That's my favorite name I've ever heard.
Goodbye to this movie. Is that G-A-B-A-I? Goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Richard Goodbye.
Richard Goodbye.
I wish I could have said goodbye to this fucking movie.
Oh my God.
IMDb describes this film as a teenage girl's life gets turned upside down when a new school friend turns out to be a pop star, Aaron Carter. Now, in this movie, his name is not Aaron Carter.
I was just going to ask.
It is
Jesse Hello.
Schmarin
Smarter. It is JC something.
Yeah. What?
It's, let me see what it's called, what his name is. J.D. McQueen. Great pop star name.
Come on.
J.D. McQueen.
Yeah.
Now, Casey, when we were talking about this last week, you said, like, oh, you know, it's going to be, from the trailer, Aaron Carter trying to be like, I'm a pop star, like, and kind of sort of doing a little skewering on that.
Yeah, like
that.
A little wink, wink, I can take myself to
absolutely
task.
Not.
No?
No, there is not a single iota of
self-awareness.
Meta commentary of self-awareness of sort of pop stars, right? Oh, they're so, like, there's no attempt to make this a movie that does any kind of commentary on pop stars or how pop stars are at all. This movie is 100% a sincere piece of shit family attempt. It, like, this
well, then I'm very glad. I've never been more glad to be wrong.
This is more on the sort of spectrum of something like a Talking Cat, in the sense of maybe not as extreme an example, but, you know, this is one of those bottom shelf kind of space fillers where they've made a movie that they have taken serious to a point and then just, like, slapped a cover on it and put it on a wall. Like, it is about this girl who's you know, oh, she's so nerdy and nobody likes her, and then this like, the world's most famous pop star has to come back to school because if he doesn't do better at school, then he's not going to be allowed to go on his world tour. And, like, he just shows up at this high school, and no, there's, like, I expected it to be, oh, it's going to be like their kind of shitty take on Beatlemania, that he's going to show up at school and everyone's running around like nobody cares. Like there's none of that until later in the movie, weirdly. But it's just a really shitty low budget family movie with two performances at the center. One which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and one which is funny but not in the way you think it is, and that's Aaron Carter. It's funny because he thinks he can pull off being a normal guy.
Yeah.
And he can't because he's awful.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do that, like, I'm a big pop star and I come from a different world, but, like, ah, man, ah, shucks, like, I'm not so bad. Oh, man, I just, you know, whatever, shrug, shrug. And it's so, like, no, man, no. And then her, Elena Austin, is trying to be, oh, I'm a nerd and I have two ponytails, and they've put the biggest, most, like, lip, like, they put these braces on her that shove her top lip out so that she can sort of come off as this, like, oh no, I'm...
Is this the one who walks with the weird...
Yeah, and yeah, I sent Greg... She walks around like she's... This actress is... This is, like, she's Brando in her mind here. Uh-huh. She's like, I am a nerd. If I talk and if I move my mouth all weird when I talk like a nerd, and if I, like, walk and put my arms out in a weird way because I'm trying to run, I'll be nerdy. And if I shuffle my legs and every... Like, she is going so for this part and spectacularly failing.
From the clip you showed us, I feel like I get exactly what she,
like,
thought
she
was doing.
Is leaning into what she thinks is a nerd and what this cartoonish version of this movie thinks is a nerd. Where, like, yeah, everything she says has that kind of, like, but I'm just a nerd, you know? nobody likes nerds, man.
Sorry, was she playing Carol Channing?
And they and from the first... Like, this is an actress who has been picked because she looks like, you know, the, like, Britney Spears, you know, 2000s era type woman who at the end of the movie they're going to take all this stuff off and be like, oh, she's beautiful.
Right.
But they don't make any effort to hide that except for the fact that she has these, like, oversized
insane
fake braces. And it is...
And she runs like she shit in her pants.
Yeah. And she runs, yeah, like... She just took a dookie, and and it's, I can't even believe that they made a movie in 2005 where they legitimately try and do that kind of, like, but I'm just a nerd. Pull
yeah,
your hair down.
Crazy.
I'm a buxom babe. Like, fuck off.
And you watched this on YouTube
in like
parts.
11 parts.
Yeah. So.
And you watched all the parts?
All the parts.
Did that make it easier
no,
or
No, it made
harder?
It weird because every, like, 10 minutes there was a pause, and it was another time I could just turn this garbage off.
Yeah, yeah, like, it was, like, 11 times where you had to press play again.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem
no.
fair.
So the movie opens with all this footage of Aaron Carter performing, and it seems to alternate between, like, I want to say legitimate, but it's Aaron Carter in 2005 legitimate. Like, actual footage of him likely at a real concert, which I guess in 2005 was the kind of outdoor concert like Peterborough, Ontario might put on. Like, hey, it seems like a concert, but yeah, it's probably at your local, you know, free music festival down in the park. And then it also keeps cutting to footage they've obviously shot specifically for this movie, seemingly in the gym of the school they just happen to be shooting at. So they're trying to make him out like he's the world's biggest star, but even from the, like, 5 or 6 minute opening musical montage, it just feels so wrong. and it literally looks like your high school's gymnasium that they've just packed full of extras. And the music is garbage, obviously.
Yeah.
Is it his actual music, or did
I believe so? Yeah,
up?
New jams written for the film.
I think maybe one. I think he put an album out around this time, yeah. And one song off that was on here. But this movie, it's awful. It approaches levels of, like I said, a Talking Cat. Like, this is pretty close to being the kind of movie I would tell people that like those kinds of things. Like, oh yeah, we got a bunch of friends together, we watched a Talking Cat and laughed our ass off. Like, Emma watched the first half of this movie with me, and we laughed so hard at everything that actress was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
It's just ridiculous.
Awesome.
And the dialogue is insane. Like, just insane. But the gist of the movie is, they end up kind of having a relationship, but he's kind of shitty to her, and he keeps telling the press that he's like, there's some other lady they keep referencing to. It's like, what's going on with you and, like, this other lady pop star? And he keeps saying, we're real good friends. And he keeps, like, leading the press on while he's dating this Jane, played by the Elena Austin. Mm-hmm. And, he basically acts like a real piece of shit through the whole movie. but she's helping him with math so that he can pass. But then he cheats off her on a test, and then he's not going to be able to go out on his musical tour. And then eventually he apologizes, and they get together, and then the movie ends. But it takes forever to get there.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is this weird meandering, like it never really takes the route that you think it will. And for that reason, I almost want to say, if you're the kind of person that will scour the bottom of, IMDb bottom 200 or whatever, this is down there on that, and you will get what you want out of this, because I laughed a lot. But it's fucking awful. It's easily one of the worst movies. This isn't Roller Gator level of bad or a Talking Cat level of bad, but it's down there. It's swimming in that barrel for sure.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it was terrible. It was awful.
Wonderful.
Now, former 1970s teen idol David Cassidy and Leif Garrett appear in supporting roles.
No.
If you're interested in that. Yeah, definitely too bad.
Oh.
So there's that.
Huh.
Yeah, it was awful. It was just terrible.
I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
So, speaking of pop stars and pop music, Casey, you gave us an album to listen to.
I sure did. I gave you a 19-something-somethings. Album Savage Garden.
I wish you had given me a Chicka Cherry Cola.
97, I think. 97.
Was it as delicious as a Chicka Cherry Cola?
I'll write this in here.
And is it a Chicken Cherry Cola?
Chicken game.
I'll have the Chicken Cherry Cola, please.
A Fuzzy Tuna Massacre? That was just for Casey.
Yep. I appreciated it to no end.
I think this is 1997. Hits on this album, Truly, Madly, Deeply.
I want to stay with you on a
To the Moon and Back.
I was surprised I knew three songs off of this album.
I Want You, are those the three?
The first three tracks are the big hits.
How does I Want You go?
That's the one with a Jericola.
Jericola.
Ooh, I want you, but I don't know what I want you.
And ooh, I want to find out.
Chicken Cherry Cola.
Yep.
Every song they say that. Take it to the moon.
And a Chicken Cherry Cola for you.
Chicken Cherry Cola.
Truly, Madly, Deeply is that the I want to climb all over this mountain and swim something
you in the sea.
Swim all truly, Madly, Deeply,
blue.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, Australian pop duo. This was a big, big hit. This album was huge.
Yeah. Horrible.
And horrible.
Horrible, horrible.
And I remember listening to this, as I mentioned, it was one of my...
Yeah, you loved this album.
I listened to this for a brief moment when my brother got rid of his tape just handed it down to me.
Yeah. Hey, free tape.
And I remember...
Gotta check it out.
Yeah. And I remember thinking...
Try your hardest to love it.
Yeah. And I remember thinking those songs were like... the height of pop catchiness.
Yeah.
And then going back to this, I was really surprised at how even not really catchy those melodies, I expected to come back to this and think, okay, this is garbage, but man, those are some hits. Like, those are hits that I can remember the hooks to.
Yeah, that's the Moon and Back one. That's the...
I couldn't even think of how that would be such a big hit.
Yeah, I know. The chorus is just like...
How does it go?
I don't know.
My baby or something like... He's like, if you're my girlfriend, I'll take you to space or some kind of shit.
Fair trade.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really aggravating to listen to because, like, you get these three hits that you sort of remember or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these songs. And then 10 more of, oh,
these songs.
Yeah. And
Tears,
I didn't realize.
Tears of Pearls is not a hidden gem?
No. Nor is it about many tears from a bunch of women named Pearl. Which was a bummer.
So, or many tears just for Minnie Pearl.
Yeah.
If you want to get a feel for what this album sounds like, according to rock music historian Ian McFarlane, he says this album revealed the influence of 1980s UK pop on Hayes and Jones's songwriting. Tears for Fears melodies blended seamlessly with the Eurythmics-like arrangements, while Cure-style guitar provided the icing on the cake.
No, none of those things.
The Cure they're referencing?
Wow, apparently. That guy has not heard any of those records.
It's like that guy was like...
More music ever.
This is just a Backstreet Boys album with one Backstreet Boy.
Yeah.
And another one. I don't know what the other guy does.
Who sings like this?
Well, do
like
they both not
like
sing?
He's terrified
I think
sing.
Just the one dude sings and the other guy's like,
okay,
I carry the gear.
He's a real Andrew Richley.
Yeah, multi-instrumentalist.
Oh, yeah.
He's the multi-instrumentalist and producer.
He's probably the guy doing all the real work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this. But I was amazed at, like, oh man, this is just like a boy band.
Yeah. Oh,
album.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, here's a big key to the puzzle. I feel like their producer Charles Fisher produced some Air Supply.
Oh.
And
oh,
I feel
boy,
like
wow.
that kind
Isn't
of
that
makes
nice.
Sense now that I've heard. It's like so floaty and airy.
Yeah, it's
and,
really empty garbage.
And empty.
Yeah. It's so bad.
I'm all out of love.
And it's very long. It felt like just like it's only 11 tracks. It seems like more.
But there's some 4-minute songs on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah,
long.
Yeah.
They meander.
I was playing it during breakfast one day.
Oh,
I
no.
threw it on.
It's an easy way
so
to
I
ruin
subjected
breakfast.
Subjected Athena to it as well, and she was like, "Oh fuck, these songs." She's like, "This." She's like, "This was so." She's like, "This brings back to university. This was so big." And I was like, "Did you and your friends listen to this?" Is that? She's like, "Or did you guys like this?" He's like, "No one liked this. It was just on everywhere." I'm like,
"Yeah,
that's what this was." I don't think anyone was like Savage Garden. No one says it like that, but
I know. I read
I was
some
like,
reviews.
That's exactly that should be on the label. Like this was certainly on a lot.
Yeah,
no one liked it, but it's played everywhere.
You know how good this was? It was so good. An arrangement of 1,000 words was later used as introductory music on Windows XP.
Oh.
So you know it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
To be watered down to a jingle you will forget when your computer turns on.
Yeah. But yeah, like I didn't, I mean, this is around the time when I started to stop listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And didn't watch much music very much anymore. And I still knew these three songs very well. Like, they were just fucking all over the place.
Well,
I didn't even realize there were three, but I'm like, oh, fuck, I know three of these
jams. Here's something
jams.
About this.
Yeah.
Not only was there three in terms of, like, American singles. So the first single, I Want You, 1996.
Yeah.
Then To the Moon and Back, 96.
Yeah.
Truly Madly Deeply came out in 1997 when the album came out.
Yeah.
Break Me, Shake Me, also 1997, a single in Australia.
Yeah.
Universe. An October 97 Australian single. These singles kept coming out in different locations up until 1999.
Wow. Jesus.
1999.
Double singles for 3 years from one record.
I mean, in different... Yeah,
whatever.
Like eventually it'd be like, but still, that this album had some fucking legs.
Jesus.
And I don't know why, because it sucks.
Oh, it's so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
It's very easy listening, though. Like, I mean, again, it's that thing of, like, some people don't want to listen to music. They just want noises that resemble music.
Yeah.
And I think this album is noises that resemble music.
Yeah.
It's
terrible. Just terrible.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it as much as it seems like you did.
Yeah.
Well,
that you will continue to listen to it.
Oh, wonderful. What's the next album? Like?
I've got an album for you guys.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Because I lost this week.
Yeah, you had a lot of pop stars this week going on.
Yep. So I'm going to give you something else that's very poppy.
Okay.
And was on a lot, it seemed, when this came out.
Uh-huh.
They seemed to be everywhere.
Yeah.
This is an album. When was the last time you guys threw your hands up and said,
like,
yeah.
Vomited my hands?
And said, do wanna be you. Because I'm giving you an album by Good Charlotte. Oh, God.
No. Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Oh, Young and the Hopeless.
This is where I
this
quit
is the show. Throw all your hands no. up. Don't want to be you. Also, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
so
we should.
I was watching. I was watching some. I don't even know what show I was watching. There's some crime medical adventure show. I don't know.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I want to see that
crime medical adventure sci-fi.
Oh wait, no. It wasn't that. I didn't know what it was. I was like, it's in a hospital. No, it's a solve a mystery. No, it's something else. Scorpion, that show.
Mm.
And the guy from American Pie, the one who fucks Stifler's mom, that guy?
Yeah.
He's on it.
Okay.
And I didn't know who he was at first. I'm just like watching. I'm like, why do I know that guy? I'm like, why? And I turned to Athena. I'm like, why do I hate him? It's like, is it his hat or is it his face? Is it both? And she's like, I think it's his hat, but you think you hate his face too. And then I was like, I know why. It's because he's dressed like Good Charlotte. And she's like, that's exactly what it is. And yeah, he just from looking, it's just someone looking. Like Good Charlotte, and I was like, I hate you.
Yeah.
And why would they dress a man like Good Charlotte in a fucking TV show now? That guy totally looks like Good Charlotte, though.
So you guys are going to love this album.
No, man, I have had Good Charlotte on the back burner as a punishment album for fucking ages, and I'm kicking myself.
I forgot about Good Charlotte the
way... everybody forgot about them.
Here you go, Casey, showing him a picture.
Oh,
here's
God.
Some Good Charlotte for you.
Fucking idiots.
I hate them so much.
Man.
I don't know them as people, but I hate them as people.
Yeah.
Because everything about the way they choose to look and write music, that's
garbage.
A generous use of the word music. It makes me know that having a conversation with them would make me want to hang myself.
Yeah. Here's their period where the main singer decided, I'm going to school, I think.
Call me School Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yep. Now, the...
here, let's check it out. They've totally dressed this guy like he's in Good Charlotte.
Definitely.
Look at that.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Yeah, you just want to punch
dumbass.
His little hat off his stupid head.
Look at this fucking moron.
That guy.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
I came very close to giving you a new album because Benji and Joel Madden have a new album as the Madden Brothers... which is partially inspired by 70s AM pop. And I listened to it, and I don't think they know what 70s AM radio pop sounded like.
That sounds very interesting.
Because it sounded
Aren't
just like new garbage.
Aren't they married to inexplicable
garbage.
People?
What?
Aren't they married to inexplicable people?
I don't
like, isn't
know.
There something weird
they
about
are
the way?
Inexplicable people,
yeah.
aren't they?
Absolutely are.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're both married to people Fuck. Who you're like, you're married to that person?
This is going
to
be a horrible week.
Oh, enjoy it.
Fuck
no.
Do wanna be you.
Famous.
Think we should rob them.
God, I hate it when people try to write lyrics.
Oh, fuck, man. This is going to suck.
Have fun.
Woo.
Not going to listen to any of it.
All right, let's
All right, so we're going to roll the die now for the movies this week. A lot of movies we don't really care about come out.
It is a big shit pile week.
And not a lot that seem like surefire winners.
No.
So we're going to pick a winner's choice week. There's things out there we've missed.
Yeah.
Why don't we catch up on the things we've been meaning to watch?
Why don't we?
But didn't have time because we have to watch Pop Star. My Pop Star, not
your
yours.
Pop Star. Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So winner's choice versus... Yeah. A little movie that came out this week called Warcraft.
Oh, I'm already angry.
Now, I know that, World of Warcraft is one of the most popular video games of all time.
Yeah.
And you know that the non-video gaming public have been clamoring for this adaptation of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Now, this movie actually goes back to the original two or three Warcraft games where it was orcs versus humans, not World of Warcraft where it was all crazy shit.
When it was total
sellout.
Great.
I thought orcs was a Lord of the Rings thing. Is that just a general?
It's just a fantasy
thing.
Yeah. It's just a fantasy.
Nerds.
Yeah. So enjoy that. Duncan Jones made a couple pretty good movies, and now he made this. Is
I have
not
no
good
interest
reviews.
In this man.
Yeah.
No.
So
and it just video game to movie has never worked out.
Yeah. Well, Mario Brothers.
Double Dragon.
Yeah, really good Double Dragon. They nailed it. There are definitely
Street
two
Fighter.
Of them.
Street Fighter.
Two movies where that happened.
All right. Greg, you roll first this week.
Oh, goodness.
Warcraft versus... that's a one.
Oh, dear.
Greg is frozen in mid-roll. All right, I am rolling. Let's see here. That's a five.
All right.
Casey went to grab it, and I yoinked it.
Dan's playing all sorts of games.
And that's a three.
Yeah,
Greg
right.
is watching Warcraft.
Is this a really long movie?
Let's see.
You gotta figure it's probably going to be. Even
God
if it's
damn
not.
It.
Let us see here. Warcraft versus Winner's Choice. Casey might be coming back with an opinion on the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Sounds to me like I want to see it.
And I will see Warcraft 2016. This movie is 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Okay.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Getting 31 on Metascore.
Eat shit. Fuck me. This is garbage.
Imagine Battlefield Earth without the verve, and you get this sludgy, tedious fantasy adventure, a fun-starved dud that's not even
spoilers.
Unintentionally hilarious.
Fuck.
That's Variety gave this thing a 30. All right, man. So on to next week, we will be talking about those two, not those two, Warcraft and the movies of our choice. We'll talk about some Good Charlotte and Good Charlotte.
Talk about the Good Charlotte.
And for now, we will get back into our movie segment, right?
TV segment,
right? Because we have decided what we're going to do and the show we're going to get into. We need to come up with a good name for this.
Yeah,
corner.
So once again, we will reach out to our listeners.
Yeah.
Let us know what this segment's called.
Yeah.
We have decided, to tackle the OC.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And fellas, I had the absolute honor of watching the pilot.
Great. We're doing this like we did 90210 with
relay
action.
Guys,
Casey
was it like
watched
a,
the first episode. I will watch the second. Dan will watch the third and so on. I've never seen an episode of this show.
Either. Nope. This was my
very first
one. I'm
only aware of three people who are in it.
Yep.
And there's Misha Barton. There's the guy who's a young Commissioner Gordon on Gotham now. And then there's,
I don't know who that is.
Then there's that guy with brown hair.
brown hair fella. He's definitely in it.
Oh, and Peter Gallagher's eyebrows are in this.
Old Mr. Brown. They're both in it.
Yeah.
Big time. And Tate Donovan, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, that's my knowledge of this show and
guys,
the his songs.
We watched Fuller House.
Yeah.
I've been missing 90210.
Yeah.
I say this with proud nostalgia. Guys, I got a lot of notes.
Okay.
Because we're doing this 90210 style.
Oh, yeah.
Where we really dissect what's going on. Let's
all right.
begin.
What is happening in the OC?
We start out, we got two douchey kids in a bad part of town.
Right.
They're stealing a car. The one kid says to the other, "Hey, if your brother doesn't teach you how to do this, who's going to?" Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And he smashes the window of a car, and they steal it. They are immediately chased by the cops. They are immediately caught by the cops. they don't seem very good at stealing cars.
Right.
We go to the police station where Peter Gallagher is some kind of public defender.
Yeah.
And he's in with the one kid who turns out to be our hero. Did not bother to learn his name or the character's name. There's a lot of time
shouldn't
for
be
that.
Confusing. All right, let's go. All right.
I will be calling him Dirtbag for the rest of the thing.
Is he the little
Dirtbag.
Russell Crowe looking fella?
That is exactly who he fucking is. Because there's a couple times where I was like, "This is really amazing." Because it's not just Russell Crowe looking.
Yeah.
He's Russell Crowe acting.
Yeah, yeah. He's the Commissioner Gordon on Gotham now.
All right. Yeah. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Peter Gallagher, him, his eyebrows, and his shirt.
Am I right to assume that one of the people that one of the main kid, like, is the main guy that got caught? Is he like that nerdy looking guy?
Sorry,
like so
Which
these
one?
Two teens were caught.
Russell Crowe is one of them, right?
Yeah, Russell Crowe and Russell Crowe's brother.
Okay.
Russell Crowe's older brother had some pot and a gun on him, so he's going to jail. We don't have to worry about him.
Okay.
He's not coming back,
great.
I don't think.
Yeah.
We have Peter Gallagher. He's in council with the kid. He's like, "Hey, kid, you're in, like, the 98th percentile." And I'm like, I don't know what percentile means. But he was like, "You're so smart. Why are you stealing cars?" And he's like, "I don't know, man." He's doing that real, like, disaffected kid acting where he just stares off and he's like, "I don't know, man, because nothing means anything and I smoke cigarettes."
Are we talking about Ryan here?
We're talking about Dirtbag.
Hold on.
I feel like we need some character names.
Okay,
are we talking about Ryan Atwood, a troubled teenager from Chino?
The guy who looks like Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe Dirtbag.
I keep saying that until it makes sense.
RCDB. I don't know where the D came from. All right, so anyway.
Adam Brody, that's the other guy I'm aware of.
That's the other guy.
He shows up later.
Okay, Ryan Atwood is the guy that Casey's talking about.
Yeah.
All right, so his mom shows up. I guess at the jail to pick him up, and she's super trashy, and you can tell because she's smoking a cigarette and she's blonde. Uh-huh. She says, "Your dad's rotting in jail, and now your older brother's going to." And she kicks him out of the house where she lives with her boyfriend, who's some kind of a freeloader who beats up the dirtbag. So somehow Peter Gallagher comes and finds him on the street. Oh, yeah. Then the theme song happens, which is California by Phantom Planet.
Yeah.
And that song's dope.
I like that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of good Phantom Planet songs.
I feel
songs.
Like that song got so much shit at the time that I
really?
Am kind
oh,
of inclined.
People like it?
Well, I feel like once it broke so big and became overexposed and shit.
The theme song to a show like this, what are you going to do? You're
That's unfortunate, but yeah. I don't think it's a great song.
Having not ever watched the show, I was like, that's a pretty sweet jam.
Yeah, yeah. I totally like that
song. The second Phantom Planet album's not that bad. Pretty cool album.
Did they do The Rat? Is that them?
No, that's Walkman.
Oh, that's Walkman. Yeah. Then what's the other one that I confused with that because they have a similar tone?
Big Brat.
Big Brat. That's off the second album.
I like that album.
That's a good song.
It's a good album.
Yeah. Let's say he's the lead fellow there. He's in Donnie Darko. He's the bully with the little tiny mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the switchblade guy.
Yeah, tiny mullet.
He's good. I like him.
So mom kicks him out, so he's out on the street. Peter Gallagher finds him on the street and picks him up and says, "Come with me." And then we have credits, and it says executive producer Mick G. And I was like, "No way!"
Boy!
And that explains all the whip cuts and beach scenes and little bikinis.
Right.
Yeah.
And this episode was directed by Doug Liman, and he was cashing a paycheck. we meet a girl outside of Peter Gallagher's house called Marissa, and she's like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "Whoever you want me to be." And I was like, "Gross."
Is Peter Gallagher saying this? What?
That was confusing. No, Dirty Ryan. He was. He says to Marissa, and Marissa is played by one of the girls,
Misha Barton.
Misha Barton? I think so. Okay. I think that's right. The one. So she's an awful actress, just a terrible actress.
Right.
She very much delivers all of her lines like this.
Oh, very good.
So they meet. Then the next morning, he meets Peter Gallagher's son, Adam Brody,
right.
who seems to be doing a pretty good job playing a wiener.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's such a weenie.
Yeah. And so they go out on one of those fake sailboats. You know the sailboats that's got just like pontoons and a sail?
Yeah.
They're out on one of those.
Yeah.
And Adam Brody keeps talking
about they had those in Jaws 3.
Yeah, I think it's an allusion to Jaws 3.
Most things are. Oh, sorry, Jaws 2 is what I meant. That's a Jaws 2.
Obviously. <Yeah. laughs> I think they had one of those in Jaws 1, too.
It's a famous boat.
It's a good boat. And the boat is called Summer Breeze, and it's named after Ooh. Summer, who's the girl of Adam Brody's dreams. And he loves her, but she doesn't even know he's alive.
Oh.
Does
she think he's dead?
She's like, "Oh, God, why is that dead guy walking around school? He looks good for being dead." Oh, that's fun. And then Peter Gallagher asked them if they're going to the big fashion show. And before that, Marissa indicated that she was throwing the big fashion show. So I think it's a school function kind of thing. I don't understand
I'm really losing it.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like the way that the 1917 White Sox threw the series.
He thought she was going to take a dive.
You're going to throw it?
Somebody had money betting on the fashion show.
Took a dive, fell right off the stage.
But they like, she,
They can't.
They're like, "Hey, Rocky, I got 10-1 odds that these clothes are going to be fabulous."
Oh yeah, they all come out in garbage bags.
No.
No, sorry, she's putting on the fashion show. Oh, that is a lot of fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So Peter Gallagher asked them, "Are you going?" Because apparently it's a big thing, a big dress-up thing. Everybody's going, and their parents are going, and they're like, "We don't want to go to that." And Peter Gallagher was like, "Summer will be there." To Ooh. Adam Brody, and everyone knows that Adam Brody is in love with Summer.
Yes.
And he goes, yeah. "Well, that makes sense. She is Marissa's best friend." So there we go. We've learned that in one line.
All yeah. right.
Then we cut to two men in black suits showing up at Marissa's house. And asking for her father, but she's like, "He's not home." But then we find out he is home, and he's Tate Donovan. And
awesome.
Not only is he home, but he's also Tate Donovan. So that's a double whammy. So we wonder, what do these men in black suits want with good old Tate Donovan?
Yeah.
We'll find out, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
Marissa's mom, we meet her. She's immediately critical of Marissa's appearance in a very passive-aggressive way, saying like, "Oh, are you going to wear your hair up? It makes you look kind of severe or whatever." And, yep. "Oh, you know, I like that dress because it's forgiving of, you know, your flaws or whatever." So we're like, okay, well, mom's a bitch.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep. So then we go to the fashion show, and everyone at the fashion show... they're all lying. They're like saying that he's their cousin from Boston or something, you know, the dirty guy.
Yeah.
So that he fits in with the crowd kind of thing.
Right.
Cause if they find out he's from Chino, God forbid, I guess Chino's a real shitty place. So that happens. And then Adam Brody walks by some kid and says hi, and the kid goes, "Suck it, queer." I was like, "Where are we?
Yeah, what year is it?
We are not in 90210 anymore."
Yeah, we're nobody, also not in the 90s anymore.
Nobody said, "Hey, Dougie, nice gunplay, queer." But I think that this is just setting us up for how edgy the show's going to be,
right.
And also that everyone thinks Adam Brody's a wiener,
right?
The fashion show is just a lot of whip cuts and a lot of, you know, references to designer. Oh, is that Vera Huang or whatever?
And is that Robbie Goodbye?
I heard Richard Goodbye's going to be here, but not for long. Classic Richard Goodbye. Hi, everybody. Goodbye. So anyway, then we cut to Tate Donovan, and he's freaking out in the bathroom. Like, he's because just before that, somebody had indicated that he's some sort of like investor or something, and he had all their money tied up. And the guy was like, "I got all my money in you, so I hope you're gonna make me rich." And Tate Donovan was like, and then he goes and freaks out in the bathroom. So we know that he's lost somebody's money,
okay?
So he's in some big shit,
okay?
Yeah. Summer, who's the one that Adam Brody's in love with, invites Dirty Steve, or whatever his name is. What's his name? Ryan? To the after party. And so like, she totally likes him. She's like, "Hey, yeah, you should come to the after party." She's pretty cute. And he's like, "Oh, okay." Then he tells Adam Brody, like, "Oh, let's go to this after party, because that Summer girl was asking about you." And he was like,
"She thinks you're dead."
She was asking how you're
trying to
walking
out,
around like you are.
Figure out if you're alive or not.
She wants to find out once and for all,
yeah,
if you're alive.
I'm
going
to put
dead.
This dead kid rumor to rest.
Yeah. So they're like, "Sweet, we're going to go." So then we got, again, a lot of whip cuts and a lot of shots of like people doing coke and a lot of people touching boobies.
Oh shit.
Yeah shit gets real up in the OC, as evidenced by a line I will tell you later. Marissa has a boyfriend, and he like goes up to some girl and is like, "Hey, let's go and look at the water or something." And she's like, "But I thought you had a girlfriend." And he was like, "Whatever." So like they go off. So we know Marissa's boyfriend's not a very nice fellow.
Bummer.
Yep. Tate Donovan and Peter Gallagher's wife, we cut back to them, and they indicate that they had a thing back in high school, but I don't see why I'm supposed to care.
Yeah, coming to play later, I bet.
Or I have to assume so.
Setting up that drama.
Summer starts hitting on Dirtbag Ryan, and Adam sees it, and he freaks out, and he's like, hey, why don't you go back to Chino and steal a car, you fucking car thieving Chinoa?
Yeah.
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Chinoa. That's French for Chinese, I think. I don't know why I went there. So then immediately Adam Brody storms off, and he is immediately set upon by these two stock bully characters who just start beating him up for being a little wiener. Like, I guess that's what happens in high school. People just beat you up for being a wiener. That didn't happen in my high school. Trust me, I was a huge wiener. never got beat up. So then Dirty Ryan comes to defend him. And gets beat up, too.
Yeah.
But he was there to defend him anyway. And after Adam Brody totally outed him as being from Chino.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how is he going to survive with all these people
that
know?
Seems like a bummer, man.
Well, let me tell you guys. One of the bullies, after beating him up, goes, "Welcome to the OC, bitch."
Yeah, that
this
was
is
a big
how
thing.
It's done in Orange County. And I was like, oh, man, we have set the tone so fucking well.
I feel like I remember people saying, "Welcome to OC, bitch," a lot. Like, it was like a quote.
Yeah, it seems like one of those things that people would really like to say.
Like magnets or whatever. From some show I've never seen. Science.
Yeah, I'm
going to
need more. Oh.
Bitch, science.
Magnets. You know, from that show that had magnets in it. So then Adam Brody thanks him for having his back and is like, we're friends again. And at this point, I'm starting to go, I'm tired of Adam Brody already. two girls carry Marissa back home because she's a fucking drunk slob. And they just leave her out in front of the house. Dirty Ryan goes out and carries
Dirty
her back
Ryan.
Home. And the next day the mom comes in and she's super mad at Adam Brody for drinking and getting into a fight.
You've been hanging out with Dirty Ryan and the boys.
Dirty Ryan and the Dirt Boys.
Down on that dirt road with the Dirt Boys.
Yeah. And she's like, she's super mad because Adam Brody never went out before because nobody liked him.
Yeah.
But as soon as Dirty Ryan got in, he's like, suddenly Adam Brody is drunk.
Let's
no,
dirt you up.
You.
Get
and
Let's
mom
go.
Is like, you know what? Let's get this dirty fella out of our house. And she goes to him and he's making breakfast and she's like, "Is that bacon?" And he's like, "I always had to make breakfast in my house because my mom was never that good at it." And she's like, "Well, I..." Sorry,
the bacon can stay, but you gotta get out of here.
Autocorrect did a really fun thing. She tells him to leave and he's like, "I know. I already know." And he says, "You have a really nice family." Autocorrect said, "You have a really jive family." Later, you jive ass
turkeys. Hey, baby, you got a really jive family grooving on here.
Your family keeps on trucking.
I'm about ready to slack them, yak them, leg them down. Who got to be your shit?
Oh, shit. This is where I wrote, oh, shit, this guy reminds me of Russell Crowe sometimes. And he actually gets better. More as the show went on, I was like, this guy's not that bad.
Uh-huh.
And so then Peter Gallagher takes the dirtbag back home because, you know, he gets kicked out.
Yeah.
And only to find that mom and the gang are gone. The house is completely cleaned out.
What?
They've abandoned the house.
Oh, my.
You know
God.
Why?
Why?
Because drama! Drama happens.
Oh, man.
And then Peter Gallagher's like, you know what? Let's go home.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Things really are crazy here in the OC.
Yep.
He was like,
don't call it that.
That's how we do it at the OC.
Bitch.
And I thought a fun thing to do because the music is such a big part of this show.
Definitely. Yeah. You could sort of indie / lower tier major label artists, if you got your song on the OC, like that was
big
like,
deal. Yeah, a lot of bands got some
kind of broke that
big,
way.
Big breaks in their career because of this show.
Yeah,
yeah. And let me tell you, I don't think any of them were on this episode.
I think every episode we need to refer to this list and pick the best and worst song.
Right. Okay, what so the got? List
like a pass fail kind of situation.
Yeah, for sure.
There are notable ones.
So
on
list
here.
Them off.
Just nothing good. So there's a song called "Show Me What You Got" by Champagne. Cham Space.
Yeah.
Pain.
Okay.
I don't know that song.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Then we got a song called Sweet Honey by Slightly Stupid. Oh. Remember when we went and saw Fishbone?
Yeah.
It was opening up for Slightly Stupid.
You guys saw Slightly Stupid?
We left before then because we'd already seen Fishbone.
So horrible.
Yeah. Then there's a track by a band called Cooler Kids called All Around the World.
Mm.
I think we'll all remember where we were the first time we heard Cooler that. Kids.
Right here.
Somewhere right around the world.
Right in my apartment.
There is a band called All American Rejects.
This was a hit.
Yep.
Swing, Swing.
Swing, Swing from something in my heart.
Yep.
That was a hit.
That was it, all right.
Yep.
And then there was a song where I was like, I know this rapper. Why do I know this? It's Black Eyed Peas with a song called Hands Up. This was back before they were
before
a shitty...
Before Fergie?
Yeah, before they were a shitty pop.
Yeah.
PF, pre-Fergie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. now they're AF.
After Fergie.
After Fergie as fuck. now, then there was a band called the KGB with the song, I'm a Player.
Okay, so this website has some little notes here. First ever, ew, from Summer. Classic quote, Chino, ew.
Seth storms off. That is what happened. Oh, is ew like a thing? She says?
Does she go ew or something? Like, is it like ew?
She goes, Chino, ew. Ew.
Ew.
Ew. She goes,
Ew.
I think she's the character with Tourette's. And then we have a Mazzy Star song called Into Dust.
Hey, don't skip Let It Roll by Maximum Roach.
That was going to be my big closer,
what a great
Dan.
Game.
Thank you. Maximum Roach.
Wow, Maximum Roach.
Yeah, that's a lot of roach.
Really good.
I love the movie Maximum Risk, and I love smoking roaches.
So I love the band Papa Roach.
Band.
We're going to be like Papa Roach, but Maximum. Anywho,
Mazzy Star next.
Yeah, Mazzy Star's Into Dust, followed by track 10, which is Honey in the Moon.
What?
Honey in the moon.
And the moon.
Yeah.
And there's honey in the moon.
I think there's a honey in the moon up there.
There's honey in the moon.
Right behind that moon cheese.
Sweet. and that's by a man named Joseph Arthur. Who?
All right.
Not alive today.
Best song, worst song.
The only song I really know is the Swing Swing
Swings,
one. And I don't care for that song at all. I'm going to wager... Just on the strength of other Mazzy Star that I do know, it's probably going to be the Mazzy Star
gotta
song.
Gotta be the better one, right?
I would say probably either the Mazzy Star one or the Black Eyed Peas one. They used to be serviceable hip hop.
Yeah, sure.
So, but I will say Mazzy Star, I guess.
Yeah.
No, you know what?
Not
I am going to say Black Eyed
Roach.
Peas. I don't even remember what the fuck that was.
Maxi Roach.
And I think the worst one was "Show Me What You Got" by Cham.
Pain.
Even worse than Slightly Stupid.
I don't remember that one either. So it was probably like playing like way underneath some really scintillating dialogue.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was episode one pilot of the OC.
All right.
Okay, I'm watching episode two.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Back next
the
week
OG
tell you what's
OC
up.
Corner.
Yeah, I'll try and learn some names.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. All right.
I will say
I'm interested.
I fail to see how there was much, like, interesting things going. Like, this kid, you know, shouldn't be in the OC because he's from Chino and he's there now.
Great.
And then there was a fashion show.
Yeah.
And then they set up some very vague drama from the way you described it.
Yeah,
I don't really see where this is going.
The setup to 90210 is not like a big fucking lead. These two twins come from Minnesota to live in Beverly Hills. Oh, my gosh. And I don't even remember what happens in the pilot episode.
Yeah, but... They were
don't
that's
they go
like
hang
a
out at a hotel
kind of
and eat
situation.
Burgers. That's pretty much what happens, right?
Yeah.
So they're not a lot of setup, but I do know that this show has got. They know that they're kind of the 90210 of their era, and they're like, we got to amp shit the fuck up.
Yeah.
And that's why there's people doing cocaine in the first episode.
Yeah.
People saying
real
bitch,
skimpy,
and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Skimpy bikinis.
Yeah.
People
I can't wait
bitch.
To see how fucking hard they're going to push it to the line here.
Okay.
To make it dramatic.
Yeah.
That is what I'm interested in. I'm not like this show sounds great.
No, but I immediately see how things are going to get fucking crazy
I'm
with these
very,
people.
Very
now, when we say
this.
It doesn't sound great, we know there's a lot of fans out there going,
and the fans of this show are most definitely going,
Much like the fans of that show that we mentioned earlier with
right.
Charlie Hunnam. Uh-huh. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yes.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of
OC
Anarchy. Yep. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's the OC.
So we will talk about more OC next week. Greg will... We'll get into an episode of that.
I will.
Email us at info@modernsuperior.com if you have an idea for our segment name for that.
Yep.
We can figure out what the best one is.
Looking at you, Matt Bain.
Yeah.
Good at this. Come on, buddy. You're our go-to guy.
But otherwise, we'll talk about... I almost said Warhammer. We'll talk about Warlock Warhammer.
Might as well be called Warhammer.
The fuck... Warcraft.
Yeah.
My brain is like fizzling out.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm a mess right now. I'm no good.
This is a long one.
So we will see you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And as always,
Richard, goodbye.
Welcome to the OC, bitch. Welcome to the SYNWPC, bitch.
And a Richard, goodbye to you all.
Been a presentation of the Modern Superior Media Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.